Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here's our star, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, and thank you, Wendell. Wendell, today we're going to tell a story about a June wedding and a June bride. You know what I mean, Wendell? When two hearts beat as one.
Well, tell me, how does it feel to have the one you love love you, Mrs. Greenwood?
I don't know how it feels. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Charlotte Greenwood Show, brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So whenever you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now to the Barton home, where Charlotte has been having what you might call an elevating experience, raising the three Barton youngsters and raising the money to raise them. On this particular evening, Judge Cronin, attorney for the estate, is waiting in the living room to see Charlotte as Bobby, youngest of the Bartons, comes through the door.
Good evening, Robert. Is that the evening paper you have?
Nope, just the funnies.
Oh.
Would you like to hear a joke I just read here?
Why, yes, Robert.
Why is it lucky to have a friend on the football team?
Well, why is it lucky to have a friend on the football team?
Because he can give you a pass on the 10-yard line. Get it?
Oh, I'll give you a pass on the... Oh, yes, a pass. Oh, you mean a free ticket? Oh, that's very clever, Robert. Very good. Oh, good evening, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, Judge, this is a very pleasant surprise. You're dropping in.
Well, thank you. I don't know a better place to drop in. After all, one is known by the company one keeps.
Charlotte, did you ever keep company?
Yes, Robert, from the size of their bills, the gas company.
Oh, Miss Greenwood.
What the judge means, Robert, is that one benefits by association with one better. Good overcomes evil.
What do you mean,
Charlotte? Well, once there was a man named Androcles, and this Androcles and a wild lion lay down together.
I bet the lion was the only one that got up.
No, Robert, they both got up because Androcles was so good, he made the lion better.
Yes, my boy, and that happened 1,000 years ago.
Oh, Judge, what a memory you have.
Thank you. I read that in a book. Oh, a book, that reminds me. Robert, will you run out and get my briefcase? I left it in the hall.
Sure,
thank you very much. Miss Greenwood? I have a book that will actually reduce your work one half.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'll take two copies.
Two? Oh, yes, I see. Well, really, I'm sure you'll find this book most valuable. It tells you how to systematize your budget.
Yes, I know. One of those systems where you worry about the money before you spend it instead of afterwards. Hmm?
Well, yes. You realize, don't you, that you do save money by balancing
your
budget.
Of course. By the time you balance your budget, it's too late to go anyplace.
Miss Greenwood... Every woman needs some sound financial advice.
Yes, Judge, and your advice is always so helpful, and you're such a clever man in financial affairs.
Oh, well, think nothing of it. After all, you know I did have a seat on the curb for almost 10 years.
That's a long time to wait for a parade.
Isn't it? That's what I mean. No, this is a curb exchange. Mm-hmm. It's a place where...
Judge, go on and here's your briefcase.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
Charlotte, some demons here. Can I go outside and play for a while?
All right, dear, but don't leave the yard and come in as soon as it gets dark.
I can't, Charlotte. Yeah,
the place, Jimmy. My goodness, but it stays daylight for a long time. That clock says 8:30. By my watch, it isn't even 8 yet.
Yes, well, that clock doesn't work. Oh. Instead of the cuckoo sticking its head out and giving the hour, it backs out and asks, what time is it?
Oh, you're joking again. Oh, that reminds me. Do you like jokes?
Jokes, certainly.
Well, this joke is a riddle that Bobby told me. Why is it lucky to have a friend on the football team? Why? Because... Good evening, Barbara.
Hello. Oh, yes, of course. Come in, girls. Judge Cronin, may I present Barbara's friend, Miss Norman? She works at the library, too.
How do you do, Judge Conan?
Oh, yeah, Miss Norman. So you're at the library, eh?
Yes, I've been there for 2 years.
Only she's leaving next week.
Oh, now, Barbara.
Well, it's no secret. Linda came to Lakeview when Steve Austin was stationed out at Williams Field. And she's been here ever since. But now Steve's coming back from the South Pacific, and they're going to be married.
Oh, Linda, that's good news. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations, Miss Norman. And the young man was formerly stationed here at Williams Field, eh? He must be in the Air Corps, then, eh?
He pilots the bomber that our Lakeview donation ship, the Lady of the Lake.
Well, 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 the Lady of the Lake, you don't say.
Oh, when will he arrive here?
Well, very soon now. Steve's last letter said he had just one more mission, a mission. And then he'd be starting home. Oh, it seems too wonderful to be true.
Where are you going to be married?
Well, I hadn't thought much about that, Miss Greenwood. Steve's parents are in Boston, and well, right now I have just a little hotel room, but...
Oh, then it's all settled. You're going to be married right here in this house.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, that's a wonderful idea.
Yes, it is indeed.
Oh, Linda, you'd better move out of that hotel and stay here with us until Steve gets back.
Oh, Miss Greenwood, I couldn't put you to that trouble. No, no, you're very kind, but
trouble?
I...
Trouble? Mean... Why, that's no trouble at all. My goodness, how can you get ready for a big wedding in a little hotel room?
That's right, Linda, and I'll help you move. What are we waiting for? I'll help you move tonight.
Oh, Miss Greenwood, this is really nice of you. I want you to know how much I appreciate it. And I know Steve will, too.
Oh, now, don't bother thanking anybody, but you just hurry and get moved.
Yeah, come on, Linda. We'll borrow Jack's car.
That's very nice, Miss Greenwood. That's a very kindly act.
It's nothing of the sort. It's just when I get the first faint whiff of orange blossoms, nothing can stop me.
Well, Linda's lucky to have a friend... Lucky friend. Oh, that joke, Miss Greenwood. Oh, this is very amusing. Why am I lucky to have a friend on the football team?
Why, Judge?
Because... because he can always give me a kick in the end zone. Hey, the words are wrong. I got to mix
yes,
up.
Yes, but you are lucky just the same.
Yeah?
You're going to kiss the bride. And at the prettiest wedding you've ever seen.
Is Jack ready yet, huh? Is he, huh? I'm going to help him find a job.
Yes, I know. Come on in. Jack will be downstairs in just a moment.
Okay. Say, Miss Greenwood, I hear you have a house guest, huh?
Mm-hmm. Linda Norman.
Mm-hmm. Is he pretty, huh? Is he, huh?
Well, Howard, when Linda gets on a streetcar, the advertising cards are a total loss.
Well, Barbara said she's going to be married here.
That's right. We're planning it for next week.
Oh, gee. A June wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's sure romantical, ain't it, huh? I guess marriage is pretty wonderful, all right. But you know, once I made up my mind not to be married till I was 35.
Mm-hmm. You know, once I made up my mind not to be 35 until I was married.
Yeah. I mean, a man ought to have a chance to live life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, personally, I'm already pretty sophisticated.
Yes, I know you are, Howard. Mm-hmm. You have what we call savoir-faire.
Have I?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Oh. Oh, yeah, I guess I kind of have, because the other night, Miss Greenwood, I was calling on Gertrude Gleason, and we was all alone in the room, and all of a sudden, the lights went out.
Oh, you, the two of you were there in the dark?
Yeah. I sure showed her I knew my stuff.
Mm, what did you do?
Went down in the basement and put in a new fuse.
Oh, Howard, what a Romeo.
Oh, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Good morning, Mr. Anderson.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hiya, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, Howard. Say, how'd you like the new feature we started in the Dispatch this morning?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I didn't have a chance to read the paper this morning. You see, I've been so busy getting ready for the wedding. Trying to get a caterer and a decorator and...
Oh, you read it, didn't you, Howard?
No, I just saw the funny.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Oh, hi, Jack.
Oh, say, Jack, how did you like the new feature in the Dispatch this morning?
Oh, I didn't see it. I just read the Help Wanted ad. Come on, Howard, let's get going. Goodbye, Aunt Charlotte, Mr. Anderson.
Bye.
Oh, that's fine. You start a new feature and nobody sees it.
Well, what is the feature?
A serial story. It's called The Private Life of a General.
Oh.
Well, doesn't it sound interesting?
Not as interesting as The General Life of a Private. Now, oh, what can those children have forgotten this time? Yes?
I am Sasha.
Sasha?
Yes.
Oh, yes, the decorator. Oh, come in, Sasha. This is Mr. Anderson, managing editor of the Dispatch.
Hi, Mrs. Sasha.
I am wonderful. Seems to me I've seen your face before, but I can't quite place it.
I cannot place your face neither. I would not know where to put it.
Yeah, it's funny.
But you see, I really didn't expect you, Mr. Sasha. Over the phone, your office told me that you were so busy.
Ah, yes, I am very busy. Of lately, I have been burning the camel on both ends.
Camel?
Of course. But let us get on to glass tags. What is the problem?
Oh, it's not a problem. This is a pleasure. We're going to have a wedding.
A wedding? That is wonderful. That is beautiful. Congratulations, Miss Greenwood. And to you, Mr. Anderson.
Get away! I'm not marrying her.
What? Anderson, you are a cat.
Oh, you don't understand, Mr. Sasha. It's two other people who are getting married.
In that case, Anderson, you can apologize. I will not call you a cat again until I know you better. We are going to bury the catcher.
The catcher?
All right.
Look, Charlotte, I don't believe this fellow knows anything about interior decorating.
I do not know. Me, Sasha, why I have been deteriorating all of my life. I am the best decorator this side of the Mississippi River. Yes.
Well, who decorates the other side?
Well, now, that is a mere trouble. I am original. I am sensational. I am colossal. Besides, I am cute.
But a man as popular as you, Mr. Sasha, ought to be rationed.
Oh, now you are cooking with grass. All right, now let us get down to business and start beefing around the brush. For the decorative motif of the wedding, we will have, let me see, dogs.
Dogs?
Yeah.
What kind of corny idea is that? I just as leave have ducks.
Ducks? Why dogs?
Well, there's more meat on them.
Now, if you want something really classic,
bluebird. Yeah. We will have doves.
Yeah, that is it.
A beautiful bevy of dazzling doves against a background of...
Pardon me, I think your needle stuck.
Well, I have it. Against a background of piquant pink. I like that, piquant pink.
And what is piquant pink?
Yes, what is it? Piquant pink, that is a pinkish pink. It is pinker than pink. It is the pinkest of pink. As a matter of fact, it is punk. Positively.
Mr. Sasha, you see, I was planning to have the decorations a light green.
As you wish, Miss Greenwood. Whatever you want, I will leave entirely up to me. And tomorrow, when I come back with the color samples, I will return.
Yeah, now, wait a minute. Charlotte, you better find out what this is going to cost you.
Cost? Bah, cost. Stop making mountains out of manholes. Why, the cost with me, money is no prospect. Either you like it, or I do not care. Good day, Miss Greenwood.
And we'll have bluebird.
We will have dog.
Well, we could have stork.
But, Charlotte, the bluebird brings happiness.
Yeah, and what does the stork bring?
Income tax exemption.
Income tax exemption. Goodbye.
I didn't know you were busy.
Oh, that's all right, Linda. Miss Norman, Mr. Anderson.
Hi, Miss Norman.
How do you do, Mr. Anderson? I've heard Miss Greenwood mention you so often, I feel I know you already.
Are you on your way to the library?
Yes, for my last day. Would you mind telling Barbara when she comes down that I've gone on ahead? I have to stop and buy some things.
I'll tell her.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Anderson.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Linda.
Well, that's the bride, huh? Who's she marrying?
A boy named Steve Austin.
Ah. You know, you don't often see a person who looks completely happy. She does. It gives her a kind of...
A kind of radiance?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, say, why didn't I offer her a ride downtown? I've got to be getting back to the newspaper office anyway. A piece of bad news came in over the ticker this morning. The Lady of the Lake has been shot down.
The bomber? The bomber that Lakeview donated?
Yeah. The news had just been released, but it was shot down on May 6th.
That was his ship, Steve Austin's.
Oh, no.
May 6th was to have been his last mission before he left for home. Mr. Anderson, could you keep this out of the paper for just a day or so?
I can't do that, Charlotte. We can't suppress news.
Oh, I'd like to keep it from her just for a while.
Well, anyhow, the evening paper will carry the story.
You can't keep her from finding out. And besides, what would it accomplish?
Well, we'd have a chance to do something.
No, Charlotte, there's nothing we can do. The bomber was shot down. You can't change that. No, there isn't any hope.
Oh, I don't agree with you. There's never a time when there isn't any hope.
Today is the day that's dedicated to Dad. It's Father's Day. You know, Dad is so worthy of our thoughtfulness, not only today, but every day. For all through our lives, his thoughts, his hopes, and plans are centered on our welfare. But today, it's Dad's turn to take a bow. And even though he may protest, we know he's really pleased, grateful for the love and admiration we show him. Many of us have expressed our thoughts with cards. Cards that have carried our messages straight from the shoulder, right from the heart. And whether our dad is with us today or separated by wartime miles, those messages have made him happy. Let us bring that happiness to Dad often. All through the year, we have many opportunities to express our affection for him on Dad's birthday, on his anniversary, on every special day, and at times, too, when he'd welcome a word of cheer or encouragement, or a good luck pat on the back. Yes, there are countless occasions when we can remember Dad and all our dear ones, when our thoughtful cards can make them proud and happy in being remembered. You see, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And so, back to our story. Linda Norman is still unaware that the bomber, piloted by her fiancé, was shot down on May 6th. It's evening now, and in the Barton living room, Jack and Bobby are sharing the newspaper. Bobby has the front page. Jack is scanning the want ad section.
Say, Jack, what does tribute mean?
Hmm? Oh, don't bother me with the funnies. Can't you see I'm busy looking at this want ad section?
It isn't the funnies. It's the front page. Lake View pays tribute to gallant bomber. Lady of the lake shot down.
And... Hey, will you stop mumbling?
I'm reading.
Well, read to yourself. Let's see. Here's a couple of ads that look pretty good. Yeah, I'll just tear them out.
Jack, Howard Morton's on the phone.
Huh? Oh, okay, Aunt Charlotte. Maybe he's got something lined up for me.
Oh, Robert, you mustn't pull the paper all apart and leave it lying around like this.
I didn't do it. Jack did. He took the one ad section and tore out an ad.
Well, pick it up, will you, darling? And I think you'd better take it out and put it in the trash bin. Have you finished your homework?
No, ma'am. Oh, pardon me, Robert.
Oh. Are you back already, Linda? You startled me. I thought you'd gone out for the evening.
No, I just went down to the telegraph office. I thought maybe Steve had wired me and there'd been some mistake. I know he'd wire as soon as he arrived in San Francisco.
Then he simply hasn't landed yet, that's all.
But it's June 17th. He left for home on May 6th.
You don't know when he left. His letter said he was flying his last mission May 6th. It might have been days before he got a boat for home.
Oh, yes, I suppose I'm silly to worry. Robert, is that the evening paper?
Yes, ma'am.
May I see it?
Sure.
Robert, I...
Here you are, Miss Norman.
You'd better run along now and finish your homework.
Yeah, I was just going to.
Oh. What's this? What's what?
Something someone's torn out.
Oh. Those are the help wanted ads there. Jack.
Oh, yes. I was looking at the other side. You see, it's a little verse. This is not goodbye. Nothing is final. Night may fill the sky, yet dawn must break and morning come again. The winter passed, the spring returns, and then,
beneath last year's dry leaves, the violet grows. On autumn's barren branches, blooms the rose. Years in their cycle do not end, but bring another morn, another spring.
That is pretty. If you don't mind, I'll take the paper up to my room. Or haven't you read it?
No. No, I haven't read it.
Oh, well, then I'll take a magazine. Just let me glance at the headlines. Oh.
Linda, you just said nothing was final. Oh, Linda.
I'm all right. I've always known it would come. I tried to tell myself it wouldn't. Not to me. To others, maybe, but not to me. I tried to fool myself. But I knew.
But, darling, no, it isn't true with the same conviction. Wait patiently.
Wait. That's all I've been doing is waiting. Knowing that someday there'd be a knock at the door, a ring on the telephone, the news that he wasn't coming back.
Linda, you don't know that for sure. You can't tell. They haven't any details, only the name of the bomber and the date.
No, the details enough. His bomber, his mission.
But he could have been picked up.
But May 6th was a month and a half ago. If he were saved, they'd know it by now.
But you've got to have faith.
Believe in something that isn't so.
Faith isn't believing in something that isn't so. It's holding fast to what's right and good and never giving it up.
No. No, this is it. This is final. Barton. Yes, I'll tell her. But hurry, won't you? She's leaving on the noon train.
Who was it, Barbara?
Oh, the taxi company. There's been a little delay, but the cab's on its way now.
Oh, I wish we could persuade her to stay.
Why should she? Why should she stay in Lakeview where everything reminds her of him? Here in this house where she would have been married to him.
If she'd only be brave and wait even just for a day or two.
Well, what is there to wait for now? She's being braver than you are. She's facing reality and you aren't.
I don't know what you mean by reality. Hope is real. Doubt is not.
Only what you're hoping for can't happen. Can't possibly happen.
Everything right is possible.
That must be the cab. Oh, it's Mr. Anderson.
Good morning, Barbara. Morning, Charlotte.
Come in, Mr. Anderson.
Well, I had our Washington man check with the War Department.
Yes?
He didn't find out much more than we already know. There were some men picked up.
And Steve Austin?
No.
Oh.
Here's the list. His name isn't on it.
Let me see.
Now, Judge, he was the only one who wasn't rescued. The pilot, you know. Apparently, he made sure the rest got out, and he didn't.
I'll go upstairs and tell Linda the taxi's coming.
Yeah. I guess that's the end of the story.
Oh, but it isn't. I'm surer now than ever that he's all right.
Charlotte, why do you keep clinging to a forlorn hope? There isn't even a hope anymore. His bomber was shot down on the day of his mission. There's the list of the rescued without his name.
Yes, I know that.
At the latest, he should have arrived in San Francisco several days ago, and he didn't. Every detail bears out the fact that he went down with the plane.
Oh, no. Every detail bears out the fact that he wasn't even in the plane.
Wasn't in it?
No. I suspected that from the very first, that it was such a slim hope that I didn't even dare mention it. But now this list almost proves it.
Charlotte, you can't know what you're talking about.
Oh, why did that cab have to come here so soon?
Good morning. They told me at the hotel that Linda Norman's here. Oh, I'm Steve Austin.
Steve Austin?
At last!
But...
Say, I hope I'm not throwing anybody a curve.
Oh, of course not, son. I'm Miss Greenwood. And as a matter of fact, I expected you. I didn't know when you'd get here, but... I expected you.
Well, that's swell. You know, I phoned Linda's hotel long distance in San Francisco. They said she'd moved. Said they'd get in touch with her and tell her I was on my way. I barely had time to catch a plane, so I... Well, didn't the hotel get in touch?
No, but we won't worry about that now.
But look here. The newspapers have carried the story that the Lady of the Lake was shot down on May 6th.
That was May 6th, our time, Mr. Anderson. But on the other side of the world, it was May 7th.
That's right. May 7th. Just one day after I'd made my last flight.
Oh.
Yeah, she was a great old gal. Even when they finally got her, she let every man in the crew bail out before she gave up.
Well, son, you'll never know how many people you've made happy. But, Charlotte, how did you happen to think about the difference in time between the South Pacific and here? What made you remember that they're one day ahead of us?
Well, you see, Mr. Anderson, that's the result of a costly experience.
Costly experience?
When I went to Australia, we sailed across the international date line. One moment it was Sunday, and the next moment it was Monday. In 30 seconds, I became a whole day older. Now, that's something no lady would like.
I see what you mean.
Greenwood, is that the taxi man?
No, lady, it's one perfectly good pilot. Linda.
Oh, no, it can't be.
But it is, darling.
It sure is. Oh, gee, I guess I sort of gummed this whole thing up. I should have stayed on that long-distance call and...
Oh, Steve!
Oh, sweetheart. Oh, gee, it's sure wonderful being back.
Oh, everything's wonderful.
What are you crying about now?
You've got him, haven't you?
I'm crying because I'm so happy.
I cry when I'm happy, too.
But, Miss Greenwood, why cry? Don't you think everybody ought to be married?
Yes, everybody. That's what I'm crying about.
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, today you and I share a great opportunity, that of supporting the Seventh War Loan. It's not an easy nor a slight responsibility. The tasks imposed by war never are. But if each of us will perform his share of the task, as his own conscience dictates, there will be no need of exhortations and dramatic appeals to make the Seventh War Loan a success. If each of us will search his heart, then act upon what he finds there, we can face the outcome of this struggle with calmness and confidence. There is a sentence in Victor Hugo that I would like to quote here. When you have accomplished your task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake. Now, until next Sunday at the very same time, with the Charlotte Greenwood saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'll just say, so long.
So long.
This is the American Broadcasting Company.
It's 3 o'clock at KECA, Los Angeles. Transcribed.